Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda, and I'm your host today, and I'm coming at you from Oceanside, California. It's actually 65 degrees, which is much higher than normal right now. Sunny and beautiful, and I want to welcome Bill to the chat room. I know he had to refresh, probably missed my opening song. It's okay. It's my signature one from Donna Summer on the radio, and I love it. It's too much fun. Anyway, I woke up this morning to Box of Rocks Biden spewing his nonsense, which made me throw up, grabbed the telephone, called Representative Steve Stockman's D.C. office. I actually got through quite easily, probably the first caller. The gentleman was very nice to me. Thanks so much, Bill, for letting me know about the sound. Hopefully others will join us in a few minutes. They didn't know I was changing my time. I didn't know till yesterday. So I had a call from a client, so I have to get off the air in about an hour and go cook and deliver food. So we are brought to us here by Hollis, and he's talked to Yola. Apparently he's doing okay. He's busy, and he and Yola hopefully will set up something at Alatoona Lake for our reunion. We are, the website is www.patriotfamilies.com. And it's a wonderful place. People get involved. I hope we can gain more support. I am all excited about the reunion in Georgia. I think that we will have an absolute wonderful time. We need to regroup huge, and I mean huge. So, again, I did put one item up there for Representative Stockman's email. It is stockman.info@mail.house.gov. When I called his aide today, I was very well received. I told him where I was from. I told him my full name. I told him that I heard him on that Steve Stockman on Greta. I saw him on Greta's Van Susteren show last night on Fox, and I said he promised to call for articles of impeachment if the POTUS decides to do these executive orders, which he did this morning. And I said, I want him to be held to his word that he will do this. And I told him, hey, Tesla, thanks for joining us. I told him that I'm going to make this go viral. And I said, expect a lot of phone calls. And I did tell him that I would, hopefully people would do the email portion, because anywhere in the country, they will accept it from that email address. That's Stockman, stockman.info@mail.house.gov. And they will accept it from anywhere in the country. And you can tell Representative Stockman that you want him to hold true to his promise that he will call for articles of impeachment on this POTUS, because this is, he's out of control, and we've had it. He's got minions and czars and Kathleen Superbilious, that's what I call her. I mean, it's horrible. It's just horrible what's going on. I was livid this morning. I was screaming at the radio. I've been screaming at the clowns on Hannity's show all day. When Glenn's show comes on at my house at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is 12 for you guys on the East Coast, Eastern time. So everything that was going on, because he, so for some reason, I don't even know what time he does his show. He probably does it at 9 o'clock Eastern or what, I don't know. What, it's probably pre-recorded anyway. When I get it on the affiliated stations here in California. So he was not mentioning anything about the speeches because he hadn't heard the speeches yet. So it's kind of weird how it works out. I'm completely confused with the time zones. Anyone that would like to call in, 646-378-0321. So we know we're screwed, blued, and tattooed on the gun thing, no matter what we do, whether we try to go through the courts or whether we start shooting when they come in the middle of the night like the Nazis did to try to take our guns. I, I think we're messed up either way. I'm just absolutely livid about it. I want to give you a little brief history before I go into my second portion of the show, and you guys can call in. There's no problem. But I have a few things to read that are very important about gun confiscation. This came to me on Gmail. I don't know who originally wrote it. A gentleman here in California in down the street from me as a Gmail, but it was pretty cool. It was titled Lesson from Wounded Knee. This most interesting history without the government sanitation making it fit. A lesson to be learned on the anniversary of Wounded Knee. December 29th, 2012 marks the 122nd anniversary of the murder of 297 Sioux Indians at Wounded Knee Creek on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. These 297 people in their winter camp were murdered by federal agents and members of the 7th Cavalry who had come to confiscate their firearms for their own safety and protection. Where have I heard that? Oh, yes, Himmler in Germany. The slaughter began after the majority of the Sioux had peacefully turned in their firearms. When the final round had flown, of the 297 dead or dying, two-thirds, 200, were women and children. Around 40 members of the 7th Cavalry were killed, over half cut down by friendly fire from the Hotchkiss guns of their overzealous comrades in arms. 20 members of the 7th Cavalry were deemed national heroes and awarded the Medal of Honor for their acts of cowardice. We do not hear of Wounded Knee today. It is not mentioned in our history classes or books. Oh, gee, you think? What little does exist about Wounded Knee is normally the sanitized official government explanation or the historically and factually inaccurate depictions of the events leading up to the massacre on the movie screen. Wounded Knee was among the first federally backed gun confiscation attempts in United States history. It ended in the senseless murder of 297 people. Before you jump on the emotionally charged bandwagon for gun control, take a moment to reflect on the real purpose of the Second Amendment, the right of the people to take up arms in defense of themselves, their families, and property in the face of invading armies or an oppressive government. The argument that the Second Amendment only applies to hunting and target shooting is asinine. When the United States Constitution was drafted, hunting was an everyday chore carried out by men and women to put meat on the table each night, and target shooting was an unheard-of concept. Musket balls were a precious commodity in the wilds of early America and were certainly not wasted target shooting. The Second Amendment was written by people who fled an oppressive and tyrannical regime in Europe, and refers to the right of American citizens to be armed for the defense purposes should tyranny rise in the United States. Well, it has now. As time goes on, the average citizen in the United States continues to lose personal freedom or liberty. Far too many times, unjust bills are passed and signed into law under the guise for your safety or for your protection. That's what they told the Jews in Germany. It's for your protection. Every single time they told them that. The Patriot Act, signed into law by G.W. Bush, then expanded and continued by BHO, is just one of many examples of American citizens being stripped of their rights and privacy for safety. Now, the right to keep and bear arms is on the table and will most likely be taken away for our safety. Before any American citizen blindly accepts whatever new firearms legislation is about to be doled out, they should stop and think about something for just 1 minute. Evil does exist in our world. It always has and always will. Throughout history, evil people have committed evil acts. In the Bible, one of the first stories is that of Cain killing Abel. We cannot legislate evil into extinction. Good people will abide by the law. Defective people will always find a way around it. And another thought, evil exists all around us, but looking back at the historical record of the past 200 years across the globe, where is evil and malevolence most often found? In the hands of those with the power governments. Yes, the greatest human tragedies on record and the largest loss of innocent human life can be attributed to governments. Who do governments target? Scapegoats and enemies within their own borders, but only after they have been disarmed to the point where they are no longer a threat. Ask any Native American and they will tell you it was inferior technology and lack of arms that contributed to their demise. Ask any American why it was easy for the Turks to exterminate millions of them, or Armenians, sorry, and they will answer, we were disarmed before it happened. Ask any Jew what Hitler's first step prior to the mass murders of the Holocaust was, confiscation of firearms from the people. Wounded Knee is the prime example of why the Second Amendment exists and why we shouldn't be in such a hurry to surrender our right to bear arms. Without the Second Amendment, we have no right to defend ourselves and our families. This is one of the best items I've read in a long time, and I should actually try to find it again and have someone repost it for me to get it out to you folks. I don't know where he got it from, but it was just in my inbox. What I have come to the conclusion because of Mike from the Hot Seat show last Saturday, we had a heated debate with it was the Carlton, Ron Golden, and Mike and myself. And what the Carlton is from Canada, so he doesn't have a total perspective on our founding. However, he has done his research. And what we glean from this and what I glean from this is we need a reality check. Because even though we love our founding, we love the principles, the Declaration, it's solid, it's rock solid. We love our biblical principles, our Ten Commandments, our Lord and Savior. We love our Constitution. Those first Ten Amendments are sacrosanct. They're unalienable. They are not anyone's to negotiate. They're ours, given to us by God. They belong to Him and only Him. And no nanny state's going to take them away. So we have to make some decisions, folks, and we better do it soon. Thank God I have a meeting tomorrow with my patriot friends here who have been fighting against Agenda 21 for about 3 or 4 years now, and we are on fire. I'm going to be raising all kinds of proposals to these people as to what to do and how to accomplish it. Again, I would urge you to contact every single one of whoever your congressmen, senators are, and tell them that we are not going to lay down and take this over and let them roll over us and take our arms ever. We will fight, and they'll see what we're made out of, because this is crazy. What happened back in the day after the first Constitutional Convention, and the woman asked Dr. Franklin, what form of government have you given us, sir? And he said, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. Those are the key words, keep it. Well, we didn't keep it. We're screwed. And it started back in Lincoln's time. What we have to realize today is we do not live in a constitutional representative republic. We've got 500 and approximately 45 clowns in D.C. who are so self-serving, so narcissistic, and so rotten. I would be surprised if they garnered 2% approval rating at this point. I am absolutely disgusted with them. I am not going to call them the GOP. I'm calling them the Whigs, because they're done. If they don't stand up against this clown and impeach him, I don't know what we're going to do, guys, but somebody's got to make a statement. Somebody's got to do something. I don't even know where to start with this. So we need to regroup, and I think that perhaps if we live long enough to get to Georgia in July, maybe that would be a good starting point. I want to read this one to you guys, because after I'm finished, I would welcome all calls. I've got about 45 minutes or so. It says, the end of the United States, is that even possible? Are we about to see the post-American age in this world? I dare say we're already in it. How would that happen, and what would it mean? Following the re-election of BHO, the hottest thing on the internet was petitions at the White House website demanding that various states be allowed to secede. The White House finally responded, saying there is no right for states to secede. Well, we'll see about that. The White House is wrong on that issue. A compact voluntarily entered into can also be voluntarily exited. The petitions signed at the White House were meaningless. They were less than meaningless. What we have not seen yet are resolutions introduced in state legislatures for their respective states to leave the Union. I haven't seen any of it yet. Will these resolutions be introduced? And more importantly, will any legislature pass one of them and have their state governor sign one? If Texas does, I'm driving to Dallas. Unfortunately, while secession makes for an interesting discussion, there's a serious truth that underlies the talk of secession. The secession petitions were simply the first sign of a more dangerous trend in this nation. Americans see their freedoms and liberties disappearing. Americans see this nation going in the direction of becoming a European socialist state, you think? The left has pushed America into a direction most Americans do not want to go. Most Americans do not want Obamacare. Most Americans do not want massive tax increases. And most Americans do not want to give up their guns. Most Americans believe we have the right to own to our own opinions and have the right to express those opinions. We do not want to give up these rights. The left is making war on our rights across the board against all that has made America great. While the current crisis we face is over the left's attempt to strip us of our right to bear arms, it is by no means the only fight. Todd Starnes on Fox News told the story of an American pastor who traveled to Uganda in 2009, and one of the things he preached about in Uganda was his traditional view that homosexuality is a sin. A George Soros-funded group has filed suit against Scott Lively, charging him with crimes against humanity. Fortunately, Liberty Counsel is representing him free of charge, but the precedent is dangerous. It is the use of our justice system to silence people and intimidate them from exercising their rights to free speech. The concept is called lawfare, L-A-W-F-A-R-E, lovely. The litigation has the purpose of trying to bankrupt the defendant and to intimidate others from expressing the same opinions. For the last 50 years, the left has made an all-out assault on American morality. A lot of people go nuts when you mention the word morality. The left loves to scream at conservatives, "You can't impose your immorality on me." Unfortunately, too many conservatives buy that argument, ignoring the fact that someone's morality will be dominant in a society. By vacating the field of battle, conservatives have ceded the morality battle to the left. Morality does not mean religion. Morality is a common group of beliefs that we share that governs our daily behavior. It is immoral to kill someone or to steal their property or to assault someone. Traditional American morality taught that marriage was a man between a man and a woman, and either you did not have children until you were married, or if a woman became pregnant before marriage, the father of the child married the woman. In the 50s, society was far from perfect, but we did not have mass shootings. We did not have rampant drug abuse. In the 1950s, we did not have a police state. For over 50 years, the left has made war on American morality. The results have been predictable. In black families today, a child has only a 6% chance of being raised by a mother and a father under the same household. The statistics are not as extreme in the Hispanic and white communities, but the result of illegitimacy are the same: poverty and the expansion of the welfare state. Well, yeah, they reward people having kids out of wedlock with money, and lots of it, apparently. There's a joke that is floating around the internet that says the red states are ready for a divorce from the blue states. The red states will take our military, low taxes, and oil. The blue states can have high taxes, welfare, socialist health care, and gay marriage. The red states will take freedom and liberty, and the blue states can have socialism. Unfortunately for America, we now have a huge and insurmountable divide. People in the blue states want socialism. They want to trade the freedom and liberty generations of Americans have fought and died for the cold embrace of statism. Americans in the red states, or as I like to call them, real Americans, are unwilling to surrender to the tyranny of statism. There can be no compromise in this divide. There is no resolving the chasm. Patrick Henry said it best: give me liberty or give me death. In the 21st century, blue state version of Patrick Henry is simply give me. Real Americans still want freedom and liberty. Real Americans are not willing to surrender freedom and liberty to a bunch of nitwit politicians from the shallow end of the gene pool. Today, the party of treason controls the White House and the Senate. They continue to push America towards statism. The Republicans control the House, but are more interested in their power and their Washington cocktail parties than they are in fighting for freedom and liberty. If the Democrats continue to push statism and the Republicans continue to surrender on this issue, I am happy with the idea of breaking up the nation. I'd rather have half of a free America than a united America where we tell our children and our grandchildren what it was like to grow up in a nation that was once free. That was done by Tea Party Nation, and it was very, very well done. If you guys want to find that one, it's called The End of the United States. Anyway, brilliant, and please call in. Bill puts in the thing, the intent on the truth behind the Second Amendment is protection against tyrannical government, and anything that lessens that ability is illegal. Correct, Bill, and I'd love to have you guys call in. 646-378-0321. These people, every time I hear these clowns speaking on the air about the magazine capacity, the AR-14s, whatever color they want to call them, these people don't know a shotgun from a handgun, and now they're talking about semi-automatics, they want to ban handguns. I'm done with these people. It's not going to happen. I'm not re-registering my guns. I'm not complying with their prohibition on anything. I don't care if they prohibit booze. I don't care if they prohibit cigarettes. I'm not complying with their garbage. I am not going to do it. So, again, you guys want to weigh in on this? I've still got a little over half an hour, so please do. 646-378-0321. I welcome all calls. Tessler and Bill, come on in. I don't know who my guest 4993 is, but welcome. Everyone's not here because they think that I'm on it. 7 o'clock your time. It's about 10 minutes to 4 right now here in California. So, oh, good for you, Bill. I have a house full of neighbors and family listening. He says, thank you so much. Say hi to the family. I know that there's a really large, wonderful clan there in southern Indiana, and I'm happy that they're listening. Again, we've heard so much, and I urge everyone to please call Stockman's number, that's 202-225-1555. I'll put that in, if I can get it in here without messing it up, my Chinese keyboard. 2251. And the problem is with that is Bill came up upon a problem because he was a later caller. He couldn't get in because the phone lines were like going bonkers. I sent out emails to everybody, Facebook, Patriot families. I sent a blast out on Vista Tea Party Patriots to stop taxing us, to Jeff Schwick. I mean, everybody I could. And so they probably overloaded the system. But he didn't get the response that I got. I'd love to hear about it if you have a minute to call, Bill. And Tesla, you're welcome. I know that Ron's probably not even home from work yet because he's got a long drive anymore, where they moved his job from his house a little further. So he's doing the either the 7 o'clock or the 7:30 Eastern time stuff with us. But I was hoping that Yola told me she was going to come in, but then she got too tired and couldn't make it. And I was very happy she connected with Hollis because he is definitely somebody we want to keep in contact with. And I know he's real busy, as we all are. Basically, what I did was a couple days ago, I put out flyers for this little business I want to get going, and it's called Gourmet to You. And I did that on Sunday, and Monday, I think it was just before noon, I got a call from one of the people, and they were really, really nice. And so they ordered food. Well, by the time, you know, and then Tuesday went by, and then I went ahead and called the lady on Wednesday, and she says, oh, we were going to call you and everything. And so the husband called a couple hours later and says, we need more food on Wednesday. So when I get off the air, I'm going in the kitchen and I'm going to make the stuff and head over there and deliver the food. It is chicken cordon bleu with all kinds of great side dishes. And I love to cook. So anyway, if you folks have anything you want to talk about, I know that we're facing debt ceilings. I think that there was something on the news today about was it American hostages being taken? And now, oh God, what country was it? Because I was so livid about the gun grabbing. Somebody type in or call in and let me know what that was about. So I thought, oh good, now the blind sheikh's going to be released because this clown that's in the White House is just, oh, Algeria? Okay. Now he's going to release the blind sheikh. You mark my words. It. Welcome guest 5201 and 4993. You guys, anytime, 646-378-0321. I'm your host, Linda, and we are from patriotfamilies.com. This is Right from the Left Coast. Again, I can't Al-Qaeda linked. Yeah, of course. So I have no idea what the purpose is of this, how this is going to play out. We've got so many. Hey, Rod, welcome. We have so many things on our plates. We've got Agenda 21 pushing down our throats. Thank God I'm going to go Thursday. I've got extra people begging to come to the meeting at 6 p.m. Pacific time where we're going. here in Escondido. We've got probably 20 people showing up. I've got a stack of papers that I've been dealing with on Agenda 21 for about 3 years now. I promised Barbara Decker, she's a wonderful person who actually introduced me to the problem of Agenda 21 at that time, and that I would bring my Glenn Beck-style chalkboard as to how I was explaining things to the mayor, et cetera. They don't listen, you know. What makes me nuts is these lefties, they get on the air with Hannity or whoever, and they talk about marching down the, marching down to, you know, giving up guns and gun control and limiting high-capacity magazines and limiting certain types of assault rifles. They don't even know what they're talking about. And I thought, you know, Hitler and Stalin would just sit there and go, wow, these guys don't even have guns pointed at their heads, and they're walking onto the boxcars all by themselves. I mean, they're going to Auschwitz and Treblinka all by themselves. It's insane. I look at these people and I go, what the hell's wrong with you? What planet are you on? You know what? They don't read a thing. I swear to you, they must look at books like they're just viper snakes ready to strike them. They couldn't get near an honest, normal, not written by a commie like Howard Zinn history book to save their damn souls. And I don't understand it. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. Yeah, George Soros. He had Edward Bernays and he had Goebbels. Absolutely. That's what they did. That was their propaganda machine, and it was huge. Stalin had the same thing, and so did Lenin. I believe Mao had the same thing. I'm telling you, every single historian has said the same thing over and over again. The first thing they had to do was get the media. They got it in print. They got it on, if they had radios, they got it in every aspect of everyone's lives, and they completely convinced the masses that with their Hegelian dialectic, that this was their little thoughts all along. Hayek wrote about it in Road to Serfdom. Robert Gallatly wrote about it in his epic history book that I read. It took me about 3 or 4 months to read it. It's about 650 pages of absolute, you would not believe that book. You want to know about 1917 Bolshevik Revolution all the way to the end of World War II, you get that book and you will not be disappointed. You will not be left in the cold. You will know what you need to know. This is evil, what they're trying to do. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the show. They are doing every single thing that all of these evil dictators have done in the past. I'm watching it. It's like watching a horror movie. I'm watching a horror movie. And these people are putting the shackles on themselves. Why? Are they that stupid? It's called slavery, but this is voluntary. This is voluntary servitude, and it's going to get worse under Agenda 21. You think the Ukraine under Stalin was ugly? Oh, my God, I'm terrified. What we talked about earlier, Ron, was we have to come to the realization that the Republic died a long time ago, and we've got to deal with what is, because and what they've done to the Constitution since after the first constitutional convention. It has been screwed up, it's been amended, it's been bastardized, it's been shredded, it's been tweaked, it's been lied about. I mean, I don't even know where to start with it. I live in this Alice in Wonderland hell right now, and I know we all are, and it's terrifying. Anyone that wants to weigh in on this, I've got about a half an hour left. 646-378-0321. I welcome all you guys' calls, and I'm so glad you're in the chat room, everybody. Because I kind of ran out of stuff to talk about because I was, like I said in the top of the show, I woke up screaming at Biden on the radio. I mean, you know, and then, of course, I loved what Bill called him yesterday. It was perfect, but I'll let you call in and tell it again. It was great. I call him the POS in the White House, and I kind of half listened to it, and then I got on the phone to call this particular person from – yeah, I did. I have to get out of here in a half an hour and do a catering job. So that's why I did it, only for today. It's kind of crazy, but it's good. I've actually got business, which is nice. Anyway, so again, as soon as Biden opened his ugly mouth, I got on the phone to Steve Stockman's. And not that it's going to do any good, but I emailed everybody and said, please call your reps, call everybody, tell them we're not going to put up with this and call for impeachment. I, you know, just get up in arms about this. No pun intended. But I think that's what we're going to have to do one of these days, and I don't look forward to it. But, again, you guys, please weigh in. Love to have you, Tesler, Ron, Bill, anybody that wants to call in with your thoughts on what happened today, what's going to happen, whether the Congress has to do anything, whether they can defund anything, whether they really, really can do articles of impeachment. This guy's going, having ATF be in charge, the DOJ, Super Bilious, Kathleen from the, what's her, it's H, I forget, Department of Health and Human Services, which is another one that should be defunded tomorrow. I don't even know where to go with these people. It's like, it's a freight train coming at me. Absolute freight train. I've got people here in San Diego and writing stupid articles, and it's like they've written it and copied it from Agenda 21, and they've copied it from ICLEI, and they've copied it from the Wildlands Project, and they're shoving it down our throats, and they're all excited about it. I wrote to this one clown because he actually wanted input from the public, and I go, oh my God, he opened the door, and I said, sir, do you even know what these words you're talking about and pushing down our throats mean? I said, do you know what environmental justice is about? Do you understand smart growth? Do you understand sustainable development? I said, you need to research the people and the philosophers behind this evil nonsense, and you need to find out who ICLEI is and what country they were formed from and who started them, which would be the Agenda 21 from the United Nations. And I said, you have no idea what these people have in store for you. I said, there will be no freedom. There will be no automobiles. And I said, it's going to be such pure hell, and you're pushing it and pushing forward and applauding it. And I said, I suggest one thing to you, sir. You do your homework and you research what I'm telling you. And then, and only then, will I entertain speaking to you. I was livid. And of course I never heard back from the clown, but this is what I go through here. I go through this with the mayor of Oceanside. I'll go through this with the council of Vista, the council of Encinitas is like commie land. It's nuts. California's doomed, overdone with, gone. Jerry Brown's going to push for more stuff because, you know, he's nuts. He's absolutely on board with everything. He's all for happy about his tax hike he got, lying to the people. And we've got a blue state. We've got idiots that live here. I think they're either Down syndrome on the low rung of the retard scale because they're voting for this. I don't understand it. How do you have a conversation with people that can't even tie their own shoes? I'm so frustrated. And I, again, every time I see the television, whether it's Hannity or Greta or any of these clowns, or I hear it on the radio, I'm screaming. My blood pressure must be going through the roof. The other day, I can't remember what it was that I was bored and I thought I was going to check a little bit of Bill O'Reilly. I think I was on there for 60 seconds. I turned the TV off. I said, I'm going to go play computer games and listen to Mark Levin. I couldn't take it one second. He doesn't even get it right. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. And you know what really pisses me off more than anything? The damn GOP, WHIG party, they do nothing. They are useless. They are meaningless. They are irrelevant. They have done it to themselves. They don't care. I can't believe these people. What, maybe four or five of them in the whole body of the two houses have any relevance and brains at all? Have any chutzpah to speak up and say something that's the truth and stand and fight? Hopefully it's not just theater. I'd like to see them do something. My God, help me out, guys. Give me a call for a few minutes and get me through this day. I was, like I said, I woke up. I didn't even have coffee. I'm on Facebook with Bill telling him what to do, you know, and I'm screaming. So I was hoarse earlier on. It's insanity. I got about 25 minutes left. So if you kids want to party with me, I'd really like it because I kind of ran out of stuff to say. But me, run out of stuff to say? Yeah, we had an absolutely wonderful rant yesterday on the Patriot Family Chat, and Bill called in, of course, and he was the main host, and then Ron called in, and it was awesome because we have to keep doing this. We need to learn from each other and try to either not only find the truth, but we need to find our communities, find our people, organize. Again, I feel like a lone wolf. I feel like a person who's in the forest with no backup, you know, but Bill had said yesterday that, you know, I said, we're all spread out. And he said, that might be to our advantage. They can't just, you know, put us all in a big circle and shoot us all at once. And I thought, yeah, that's true. So I'd still rather be in those hills of Indiana when it all comes down. I'll tell you, it's real scary. Again, 646-378-0321. If anyone would like to weigh in on what's going on and what's going on in the financial markets, I know they're trying to do exactly what they always do, and they use these crises, the shamelessness of these people with Biden and the kids around him, and the lies that come out of his mouth. I can't stomach the guy anymore. It's pretty bad, and you know. What we go through, there's economic problems. There's idiots like Geithner trying to mint a coin. I mean, what planet are they from? I know that we tried to tie that in yesterday with they can't get the Agenda 21 pushed fully without taking our guns away. And I hope you're right on that, Bill. It might give me a little bit of time and all of us some time to push back against A21, fight. Rally, I don't know, March on Washington, but it doesn't seem to do any good because we were holding signs. We weren't holding muskets, dang it. We probably should have. They're just, you know, I don't understand it. They're so elitist. They're like the Ivory Tower Marie Antoinette and the King Louis. I mean, they don't care. They don't give a rat's behind. And they also don't give a rat's behind about saving children because the hypocrite in the White House talks about, if I can save one child's life, oh, BS. And he voted three times for the, you know, if you abort it.
Hello?
I've been on this all day, screaming, emailing.
Oh, no. It just, you kind of, when it went unmuted, you kind of like disappeared, faded into black there.
It's black because, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, God. So anyway, I like I said, I woke up box of Rox Biden's statements and I'm throwing up. I don't have enough air sick bags anymore in my house. I just don't.
Well, you know, I mean, one thing we cannot expect our politicians to be is honest. We saw where that got Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. And the penny wastes that get all a quiver and call for gun bans and all kinds of restrictions and regulations, they're never going to tell you the truth. They know the truth. Gun control doesn't work. Gun legislation doesn't work. His ass holiness himself, the King Hussein Obama, even said it in his statement today that no legislation
I heard that
would prevent what happened.
That's the question, why are you doing it then?
So, right. So the point has to be made. Well, if you recognize, sir, that no legislation could ever stop this from happening, what the hell are you talking about? And we need to start asking these questions as individuals. If I hear one more person utter the phrase, gun show loophole, I think I'm going to rip their throat out with my bare hands. But the first question needs to be, well, what exactly is the gun show loophole?
Ask.
Does anyone know? Because I can tell you that no such thing exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a unicorn.
This, I know. This is all of, you know what this is about. They want
it's mythology. Oh, absolutely. If they were honest, what they would tell you is that the goal is stated in the UN Charter.
Oh.
And that is universal disarmament. We don't want anyone but the cops to have guns. We want the government to have guns, but nobody else.
Absolutely. Well, gee, I mean.
Now, why would we want something like that? Well, you know, we'll leave that to your imagination. But the truth of the matter is,
I've read history. I know. I know.
They do not want anyone other than the powers that be to be armed. Period. End of conversation. They know that the legislation doesn't work. They don't care. That is not their end goal.
I know. It's hard.
The gun show loophole that they always talk about is the fact that when they have a local gun show, which they're having one this weekend here at Jim Miller Park near my home, I, as an individual human being, can contact the people that are putting on the gun show, and I can rent a table from them.
Right.
And I can go take my personal private weapons.
Huh?
And I can set them out there, and I can sell them to whomever comes to
right.
buy them at whatever price I want to sell them for, and I don't have to make that person go through an
right.
NICS background check. The okay. firearm dealers do. Now,
okay.
what's the difference between me and a firearm dealer? There's only one thing.
Money.
It's called a license.
Right.
The federal firearm license means the dealer has to follow all the rules that are associated with the contract he entered into with the government. But me as a private individual, I don't have to abide by those.
And what's the difference, Ron, just because now you're renting a table, okay? What is the difference between you know, putting up something or calling people or whatever, or emailing people and say, I'm selling a gun, and they come and buy it from your garage? Now, that's
not
that's,
a damn thing.
Okay,
now,
thank you.
Now, the statistics show that the majority of firearms that are used in an illegal manner,
oh,
in crime,
okay. right.
were not purchased at a gun show or a freaking garage sale or at a local firearm dealer. They were stolen from someone's car or
uh-huh.
their home, which is also illegal.
Right. And or they got them from the Mexicans who got them from Fast and Furious.
right. Well, or they got them from the government themselves. Correct.
Yeah.
That's always
through,
a possibility.
Yeah, through the other entity of that nation state. Absolutely. I mean, this, we know what the end game is. We're sick of it. And I don't know. Again, I'm looking for answers here. What the hell are we supposed to do now? How do we fight this crap? How do we?
Well, interestingly enough, you heard what I heard in Obama's little diatribe today
yeah.
was pleading, hoping, but defeat, utter defeat. Because he knows damn good and well that there isn't a thing he can do.
Good. I hope not. I am so sick of this man. He's such a imperial assholiness, as Bill so aptly put it. It's horrible what he's doing. And he's the most narcissistic piece of garbage. And he does think he's king. And somebody needs to put him in his place. And you know what? I don't care how they do it.
I don't know how many people understand what the assault weapons ban was.
Ah, that was semi-automatics, wasn't it? Or
well, let me read you the meaning or the general okay. overview. The term assault weapon, when used in the context of assault weapons laws, refers primarily, but not exclusively, to semi-automatic firearms that possess the cosmetic features of an assault rifle that is fully automatic. In other words, it looks like a different gun that's fully automatic. It looks like it's a twin, but it's not really.
Oh,
okay?
My God.
Actually possessing the operational features such as full auto changes the classification from assault weapons to Title two weapons, which is true. Merely the possession of cosmetic features is enough to warrant classification as an assault weapon. It looks like an evil rifle.
Oh, my God.
Now, semi-automatic rifles that are able to accept a detachable magazine, two or more of the following: a folding or telescopic stock, butt stock, a pistol grip, a bayonet or bayonet mount, a flash suppressor, or a barrel that's threaded to accommodate one, a grenade launcher, semi-automatic pistols with detachable magazines.
Oh, my God.
And two or more of the following: a magazine that attaches outside of the pistol grip, okay, like a Tommy gun, you know, that goes in front of the pistol grip instead of in the handle, threaded barrel, a flash suppressor, a barrel shroud that can be used as a handhold.
Oh, my God.
Unloaded weight of 50 ounces or more, or a handgun that is a semi-automatic version, one that's available in a fully automatic version.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Okay, yeah. So it's not about actual functionality. It's about how it looks.
Oh, my gosh.
It looks scary. So we've got a guy on our forum that has his avatar is an AR-15, which, by the way, AR stands for Armalite Rifle. It does not stand for assault rifle or automatic rifle or any such variant.
I know.
His avatar has a picture of an AR-15. And the best caption I've seen is, "It's because I'm black, isn't it?"
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's funny. No camo. Oh, my God, that's funny. Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you know, but that's true, because it's purely about appearance. It looks like a scary, evil, spooky
weapon.
So it must...
It truly does astound one as to what's going on here. And again... I mean, I'm looking at my community, my neighborhood, my friends, my like-minded, my family. You know what? If we don't fix all that, I don't think we're going to have any prayers. And that's why I'm really, really excited about tomorrow night's meeting at 6 p.m. my time here in California. We're trying to fight against Agenda 21. If we don't come up with some really interesting stuff and actually go out and do it, you know, then all this talk's not going to help me at all. You know, we have to take action on things, and we have to start understanding our basic core. You know, why do we do stuff? Why do I adhere to the Ten Commandments? Because I believe in them, because I believe in the person who wrote them. You know, he's higher than me.
Well, you know, I am reasonably encouraged as far as the political front is concerned.
Okay.
Not in the immediate, but in the future.
Okay.
You know, the House of Representatives and the Senate, the die is cast. We've got what we've got for the next 2 years. But that said, you know, Ron Paul and the Campaign for Liberty, the movement, and I want anybody that was involved in the Campaign for Liberty or involved in local politics, you know, during this last election cycle that was a supporter of Ron Paul, I want them to stay engaged. Don't disconnect. Don't think that because Dr. Paul is retiring from Congress that, you know, well, gee, it's all over. There's nothing we can do. That is so far removed from the truth.
I agree.
We scored a major, major victory this last election cycle in so many states around this country as Ron Paul supporters and supporters of the Constitution, that we have like-minded individuals in various positions at the local level in their politics. I mean, we've got chairman. We've got, you know, people in the upper echelon within the party at the local level, and that's important because those people will shape policy for the GOP at the local level going forward.
Right.
And they're going to have influence, and that's where it starts. So we've got to stay engaged.
Especially local, yeah. Absolutely.
I have to wonder at this point in time how many people who were bashing Ron Paul or were on the, you know, Rick Santorum bandwagon or the Romney bandwagon, I have to wonder how many of those people are now sitting back and regretting their treatment or their bad mouthing of Dr. Paul and actually longing for someone who was a constitutionalist
right.
in office.
Oh, they do it all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen it on Tea Party Nation almost every day. And I post my comments and said, you had him, you fools, twice.
It's buyer's remorse.
Yep.
You had the chance. And I think if anyone could have beaten his butt holiness, King Cornholio himself, it was Ron Paul, but only if the American people would have gotten behind him.
I agree.
And they just refused to do so. They listened.
They listened to
all the talking heads, the political pundits, who wanted to support the warmonger candidate and did not want to support Dr. Paul because he represents something that scares the hell out of them. And that is a constitutionalist, a true constitutionalist.
Well, yeah, because as I mentioned, I think just before you came on or maybe right after, that the reality check is, and that was prompted by the show Saturday when we had the Carlton on and you guys were talking, I said the reality check is this is not Dr. Franklin's republic that we should keep because we've lost it and we've got to start from here. We've got to figure out what the heck we're going to do. I'm going local. I mean, I don't know what else to do other than go back to God, my family, service my community, and go to the local stuff and fight it from the ground up. Ron, I don't know what else to do.
Well, you know, that's like the guy I've talked about here local that's on the radio, and he does redstate.net, I think, Eric Erickson. He's not a bad guy. He really isn't. He means well. I think he's a little overeducated because he did graduate law school. So he has, unfortunately, been indoctrinated with the lawyer code ideology. And one of the things he said tonight really bothered me, and I wish to God I could call and get through to his show on my way home, but there's no way. I can't stay on hold the entire drive.
Yeah.
But a guy had called in and was talking about the Bill of Rights and the fact that they were off limits, that it wasn't open to negotiation. And he said, well, that's not exactly true.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, he said that there is regulation that's allowed. We've done it. It's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going, okay, now you're falling into that thing that my mother used to tell me, two wrongs don't make it right. Just because we have allowed it in the past doesn't mean that we can't come to our senses.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Set the record straight. No, the mentality is, well, you know, it's already been done. It's nothing we can do. It's the law. So, you know, and that is what has gotten us to where we're at today.
Where we are. Exactly. And and people, naturally, I don't care whether it's, well, my mother knows because she's lived through it. But people, even my age, Ron, do not understand because they're so dang dumb. I swear they have Down syndrome. They don't understand that it wasn't always this way. They have no knowledge of Jekyll Island. They don't know about the 16th and 17th Amendments and all the crap that goes with it. They don't know this stuff. They don't understand that the EPA wasn't always here and that we could sometimes smoke in supermarkets back when I was a youngster. I mean, what the hell? Why are they so indifferent and so sheepish? I hate it.
And if we look back, if we look at our history, and if we take an honest look at the history in the United States, we tend to place the founders on a pedestal, like
right.
we do, you know, movie stars and rock stars. There's this aura, there's this mystique about them, right? So that when, you know, there's always that argument, well, look, they did it, look, you know, You can't say that a central bank is unconstitutional. Look at, you know, 1791, the first Congress passed it, and George Washington signed it into law.
I know.
Okay, they're not infallible. They're human beings.
Here's the thing. Look, we can love what they did. We can love Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and the rest of them, except for what Washington did with the districting, which ticks me off to no end. And we can know our history. We've got to embrace that declaration because that was one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. But again, the reality check is we've got to go forward from here. We can't live in that past, in that semi-utopian.
We can't get mired down in the mistakes of the past. And we cannot continue to make the same compromises.
Right.
And we have to change the argument. We have to to first attack the premise.
Uh-huh.
When people present an argument
and
that is based on a false premise, then there's no point in delving into the meat of their argument.
Right.
Get right to the premise and cut its legs off.
Exactly. And if it's something that's completely abhorrent, you just have to say no. We're going to stand up and say no, and you're wrong, and you're amoral, and we're not dealing with this particular sin or this idiotic behavior, and you know, whatever. If we don't now, all the things of the past that we can take that were good things, like teaching your children when they're 9 years old how to shoot a gun, for instance, or read from the Bible through phonetics, those are good things. You know, real self-esteem versus all this nonsense going on today. You know, those we must keep embracing, and I think those traditions are very important, and we can hang on to. And in fact, we better get back to them real soon.
Well, you know, the whole idea of attacking the premise, and that's exactly what I did with Carlton, because Carlton, you know, and he's absolutely right. He's weaving this wonderful tale of all these grand things that are done with the tax revenues that are extracted from people's paychecks in his area in Canada.
Right.
And that's wonderful, Carlton. Yes, money can do
many
wonderful things when it's applied in the right way. However, your premise is that stealing money from someone
is perfectly okay.
It's okay. And I'm sorry, but your premise is defective on its face, regardless of what that money is used for.
Exactly.
It does not matter.
It's the same premise that Ron Paul had when he said, just because I think something is flowery and wonderful, if it goes against the Constitution, I can't vote for it.
Exactly.
You have to
have principle, and that's what set him apart from every other member
there. That's what Martin Luther King had. That's what Gandhi had. That's what Bonhoeffer had. That's what Ron Paul has. That's what Judge Napolitano and you and me and a few others in this wonderful Patriot families. This is where we're at. And so I just pray. I've been praying and praying and praying. And I thought, okay, God, you tell me, you know, you show me the circumstances when I have to shoot my damn shotgun to keep my peace and my, I don't care whether it's blue helmets or whatever. You tell me. So I've been praying and praying and praying, and I've been trying to do the right thing. And I want to thank you so much for calling in. It's been absolutely wonderful and very enlightening, which we always do when we do these shows. And thanks, Bill and Tesla, for being in there. And I'm going to play a little music. And guys, come see Terry tomorrow at 6 p.m. for Patriot Education. That woman is phenomenal. She did like an hour and a half, didn't take callers. She was like on fire. So guys, she's awesome. She's amazing. Love you guys, and we hope we can try to get down to your area in Georgia for July. We're going to work on it. And love you guys, and God bless. And I'll play a little Keep the Change.
God bless.
I'll keep my freedom. I'll keep my guns. Try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working. Try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big B.A., keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need. We know who to blame. United Socialist States of America. How do you like that name?